And when the market turned and got worse, she started sending me deals. And I've never met her face to face. Finally, after doing a few together, we figured out a time to meet up. And I'm like, hey, obviously I'm super thankful, but I'm just curious, like, what made you start sending me business? We haven't even met each other. And she was like, well, the way you talk in your videos is really calming and reassuring. And I feel like that's what my buyers need right now.
Welcome to the closing table. You've found a mastermind for real estate, mortgage, and pros from related industries with a commitment to reach more people, provide more value, and create a genuine rapport with clients, partners, and teammates. This is where the deal is done. It's time to take your seat at the closing table with your host, Brian Weiss.
So we're here, another episode of The Closing Table. We're with Trevor York. And as always, the topics range from everything real estate related for real estate agents and lenders alike. And the topics range from digital marketing to mindset to influence to business development tips. So in the space of sort of business development and digital media, Trevor is here to answer some big questions, I think, that are facing our industry and where the future of mortgage sales and real estate sales is headed. So first of all, thank you for being here. But I always like to start with, you know, what's your evolution? You've been in the industry a number of years. How did you get into mortgage? And what's sort of been the evolution of your career?
Yeah, man. Well, thank you for having me on here too. I'm super honored seeing the guests that you've gotten on the show to be one of them. It definitely feels good, man. So I really appreciate it. But I think like most loan officers, you know, I didn't grow up saying I want to do loans when I get older. It kind of fell backwards into it. I actually started, well, I never started. The start of my career was going to be going into title. And so I was talking to a guy who owned a title company. Really long story leading up to that, but I was about to get ready to start there. And then he decided that he was going to go into lending. I'm like, cool. I didn't know title. I don't know lending. So wherever you're going, man, I'm in. And then I ended up...
We'll learn as we go.
Yep, exactly. And so I ended up in loans. Again, didn't know this job existed, didn't have a whole lot of knowledge into it. But the guy who was recruiting me knew the industry really well. And he's like, dude, I think you do great in this. You know, I had a background kind of in finance. That was one of the things I studied in college. I've always been passionate about it. And then the sales component, you know, just being able to talk to people. He's like, I think you're going to do great. So started off, obviously, kind of like everyone, not doing a lot of business, building from the ground up. And then my approach kind of first year, the branch manager that I got hired on with was really big into builder business. So I kind of took the approach of like, I need to get a builder. That's the way to go. And, you know, being 3 months into the business, that's a lot easier said than done, like go get a builder. And so that was kind of like my goal. I set my sights on it and I worked really hard. It was about a year of going out to these developments, meeting with, you know, the president of the company, the sales manager of the company, and just paying a lot of dues, making no money. And then eventually about a year in, I became a preferred lender for this builder in town, wow, which was huge. And it was kind of this top-down approach, because when you're new in the business, going up to a realtor and, you know, trying to ask for business, they know you haven't done anything. You don't have any credibility. So you're getting a lot of garbage leads, and that process of getting people to take you seriously could take a while. And once I became a preferred lender, that was kind of my opening line when I would go talk to referral partners. It was like, oh, I'm a preferred lender for this builder. And it's a really well-known builder in town. So instant credibility. And then that helped me kind of grow the business from there, because now it's just a lot easier to have conversations.
So you became the preferred builder. It wasn't necessarily their mortgage company though, right?
Where
you...
No, yeah, it's a... Or,
oh, so you, like, from ground level, you built the relationship.
Yep. Yep. That's just kind of, it was at a networking event. I went started talking to the president of the company, and then kind of worked my way down from there to the sales manager, and then was going out to the developments and creating relationships with the sales reps of the company. And then just showed up enough times that they finally like, all right, let's give them a shot. And then obviously when I got the shot, you know, I had to do it right and close the deals, and then just started getting fed and became a preferred, which was awesome.
That is awesome. So, yeah. So that was the beginning of your career, which was sort of old school, you know, sales calls, blocking and tackling, face-to-face, toe-to-toe, which is, you know, still very relevant, important today. But now you're in this space of, you know, digital media. You have 100+ thousand followers on Instagram. and doing a lot of really cool, unique stuff there. And of course, your partnership with Neil and, you know, the Forward events and Mastermind, which I'm in with you, and fun to be a part of that. But tell me a little bit about, I guess, your thoughts on old school versus new school, how they work together, or are they really kind of two separate channels? And what's sort of been your evolution to that?
Yeah. So it was really cool because I got to see both sides at the highest level. So the first manager I worked with still hand wrote his loan estimates, like not a joke. He would literally write them out in pen. So like as old school as they get, and the guy is a phenomenal producer that's been producing for since before I was born, you know, and he would talk about years in the business. I'm like, I wasn't even born at that time. And so learning from him was like amazing because it was old school, tried and true tactics. And I was using those and they were working. You know, I was driving out to these developments. They had four different developments and I was going once a week to all of them. So literally every day, except Friday, I was driving to a development face to face, having conversations, and it worked. So it was cool to see like, all right, this tactic still works. And he was still doing loans, handwriting loan estimates. So you can't knock it, you know, it works. And I kind of had this realization of like, I don't know if this is sustainable for me. Not that it's going to stop working, but that I'm not really enjoying this. And I don't see me growing this to the level I want it to using these tactics. And so my background was in video. And I'm like, man, I just want to start making videos because now instead of one-to-one conversations, I'm having 1-to-100 conversations. So I made a couple really, really bad videos talking about mortgages. They're so hard to watch now if I look back at them. And I was getting good response though, even from the terrible videos, you know? And I'm like, man, I think this is really cool. And my manager at the time was still like, ah, those don't work. People don't like that. Yeah, Neil, who a lot of people know, Neil Dingra, he's a great producing LO branch manager, and he did a bunch of video content and he's in my market. And so I'm seeing him do this stuff and eventually go to one of his classes because he always says realtors and lenders don't go to it. It wasn't a good class
either. Except you.
Yep. I was the only one I showed up. And I kind of went like thinking that me and him weren't going to be buddies. I was going more out of like, if this guy, like I'm way better at video, you know, I want to see what this guy's trying to teach realtors. Mm-hmm. And then after the class came up to me and like super nice, like, dude, you should do this. You never tried to recruit me. It was always just like, you should do this. How can I help you? And I'm like, dude, we're competitors. You know, we're in the same market doing the same thing. It was months of that. And he never, ever once like gave the option of coming and working with him, which was really cool, which is why we kept building such a strong relationship. And then eventually I made the like call of like, dude, I just want to come work there because he's got a studio built out. He has a videographer on staff. I'm like, all these things I really want to do in the business, this guy's doing it the new way. So yeah, left the old school way of doing it, joined Neil. There's no, you know, paper files. It was all very digital. So even the way we're doing the loans was more of a new age way of doing them on the back end. And then, yeah, the lead portion was like, let's create video, let's teach classes, let's use email more effectively, like all these really modern ways of marketing. And again, it was cool to see like it gets results. And so, you know, to kind of answer the question of like old school versus new school, I think it's finding the formula that works really well for you. So if you're still like, man, I like, you know, shaking hands, meeting face to face and handwriting, and it's working, like that's fantastic. I don't know if that's going to go away. Because I think the people that refer and send you business are always going to prefer that. And then the new school way of doing this, like, you know, it works. And if you can mix the two together, great. Like I love still going in person and meeting people. And I feel like my close rate's a lot higher when I could get someone in the room and talk to them. So I've incorporated a lot of like those old school tactics in with the new stuff we're doing. And it's really neat to see kind of the result of like, not only in volume and in closing, but also just in like my fulfillment and my happiness in doing my job, you know, kind of got rid of the stuff I didn't like and kept the stuff I do, and you still get results, which is the dream.
That's awesome. Best of both worlds. Yeah. And it's integrated. So to me, I've always kind of looked at it as sales and marketing, right? So it's almost like the marketing component, and in this case, digital marketing, is what fills the funnel, right? Mm-hmm. Like it gets you top of mind, gets you recognized, it builds brand. And then as they go down the funnel, it becomes more of a sales process, right? Yep. So you're on the phone, on a Zoom, face-to-face in some cases, especially when it's business-to-business. You're building relationships, getting recognized on the marketing side, but building relationships on the sales side of the equation. So yeah, it's almost like it gives you the ability to touch more people, right?
Yeah, and it's really cool because the term even like cold calling or reaching out to cold referral partners, I haven't done that since I started making videos, because now, even if I've never talked to these people, it's not cold anymore. You know, we've been engaging online, they've watched my videos, so there's no more cold calls for me. I still call realtors I've never talked to, but they're not cold. You know,
they know who you are at that point, right?
Yeah.
Because you've had a DM exchange already?
Yeah, so typically, even if there's been a little of both. So I think I've shared with you before that there's a top 10 agent in my city, great producer, been a consistent top 10 agent, and started sending me business, and we never met in person. And we hadn't even really had exchanges in DMs. She'd just been watching all my videos. And when the market turned and got worse, she started sending me deals. And I've never met her face-to-face. Finally, after doing a few together, we figured out a time to meet up. And I'm like, hey, obviously I'm super thankful, but I'm just curious, like, what made you start sending me business? We haven't even met each other. And she was like, well, the way you talk in your videos is really calming and reassuring. And I feel like that's what my buyers need right now. And I figure that's the same way you talk to your buyers. And I'm like, cool. So how long would it have taken for me to, you know, one, get her to show up to a meeting, two, once I'm in that meeting, try to tell her like, I'm really competent. I'm calming and reassuring when I talk to my clients, you know, whatever it is that she was looking for me to try and tell her or show her that would have been really, really hard and taken a really long time. And in this scenario, she had just been silently watching. Again, I wasn't really engaging with her. I didn't know. And then out of nowhere, I start getting deals. So it's pretty cool because it is like partially the just them watching you is warming up that referral. And then, yeah, you're absolutely right. I try to DM a lot of realtors back and forth, start conversations before I meet them. And then you go in for the like, hey, by the way, we should link up. Do you want to grab coffee? And they're seeing like, yeah, we've been talking for the last, you know, 3 weeks about dirt bikes and football games and whatever it is that makes it where it's like, we're actually conversing and I like you as a person. Now let's figure out how we can do business together. And those calls are way easier.
That's awesome. So let's go back to that agent you were just talking about. It's like without the digital or the video side of it, for you to A, even get the appointment, right? To fight against 15 other loan officers that are cold calling her, yeah. Right? So A, to even get the appointment, B, to have enough time and or say the right things in those moments to express to her what, you know, she was looking for, which was somebody with a calming, reassuring voice that knew what they were talking about. Yeah. I mean, your odds of success were exponentially greater because she knew who you were and yeah. What you were like before that meeting even happened and agreed to the meeting because she knew who you were and what you were like.
Yep.
Right.
And the funny part about it too, is she's like a notoriously hard realtor to get a hold of. Like it was so funny because literally a week prior on Facebook, she posted something like, lenders, please stop asking me for coffee. I know what you want. So she's like, she's got a wall up. So on top of all everything else, like this person is kind of unapproachable to begin with. So mm-hmm. It was really cool to see that like result. And I mean, I have a ton of stories of that of, you know, out of state realtors that I do business with regularly that I still to this day have never met. And those relationships were built online. And someone asked me the other day, like I was talking about this process of like you engage with a realtor and then you ask them, you know, for the meeting and then you have to close them once you're there. And they're like, what's your success rate on asking for a meeting? I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, when you ask for it, how often does it happen? And I'm like, 100% of the time. Yeah. And that's not in an arrogant way, but I have yet to have, when I'm doing it this way, where you build that foundation, you talk to them about something non-related to mortgages, then you ask for the meeting. I've yet to have a realtor not take it. And
it's almost like asking a friend to go have lunch, right? Exactly. What's your pull through when you ask a friend to go have lunch? Well, it's 100%.
Yeah.
So if you already have a friendship or some type of connection, it's like, well, of course it would be 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's value there, you know, like I'm doing something different and they've seen that. So I don't need to like, hey, Brian, can we go grab coffee? I have some really cool loan products I want to tell you about. It's like, yeah, man, I'll squeeze you in at some point. But this has gone back and forth enough. They know what I do enough that it's like, yeah, let's do it. We're excited.
You know, it's so funny. Our industry seems to be, you know, it's notoriously behind the curve on all things digital, right? Our industry is notoriously behind on all things digital. And I see this is starting to gain momentum. There's so many loan officers, real estate agents now, I think out of probably necessity, knowing the need to up their game online. But what they're doing is exactly the opposite of what you and Neil talk about, which is, you know, don't just vomit products and rates and things like that. I still see so many reels that talk about loan programs and interest rate updates and market updates. And it's great that I think our industry is starting to really catch on, but I also think there's a huge lag on the types of content we should be publishing, right? The content that does develop relationships. So what are your recommendations around all of that? Like what types of things do you regularly post and why?
It's funny because I think a lot of people take this approach of like check the box, you know, like if you think about the beginning, the dawn of time, the very first loan officer to be like, I'm going to cold call an agent. Like that was groundbreaking. Like, wait, you can't do that. You know, like the very first one, like, no, I'm just going to call them and I'm going to ask them. And like, man, that's great. And so if you were the first one to do it, that was all you had to do was call them. And then as time went on, the people that are doing it well, they had scripts. They're like, no, when I call an agent, this is what I say. This is what I close with. This is the value I add. And so as these tactics, they become introduced and you just check the box. If you do it, you're winning. And then as soon as more people are like, okay, we all need a cold call now. Okay, so this realtor is now getting 10 cold calls in a day. How's mine going to stand out? What's the line I use? What's the script? So video is the same way. Like a couple of years ago, if you did it, if it was again, the videos I did at the start were terrible and they were working because I was the only person hitting record. You know what I mean?
And you're just checking the box.
Exactly. Like that's all that needs to be done. That's the bar. The bar is just hit record and you're winning. And then as more and more people are coming to it, they're still doing the same thing, which is like they're checking the box. And I use the analogy, you've heard me use this one, of an iron, where it's like an iron's job is to get wrinkles out of your clothes. So that's the tool. Like that's its sole purpose, is to get wrinkles out. If you're using it incorrectly, it's just going to put wrinkles deeper into your clothes. It has the adverse effect. So when people are doing video, and that's not to scare people, because the whole goal is just to start, you know, like I'm the biggest advocate for just start. That's what you need to do. But if you're just doing it to check the box, you could be ironing wrinkles deeper into your brand and you could be doing, making things worse, right? So doing it with intent is kind of the main thing. Like, are you making these for you or are you making these for consumers? And then we can go, you know, 10 steps further than that of like, okay, if you're making it for consumers, do they know what DTI is? No. Okay. So let's talk about what debt to income ratio is. But instead of talking about what it is, talk about why it matters to them. Like, let's quantify it where it's a benefit to the buyer. And so there's a lot of, and we could walk that down the line as far as you want, but the bottom line, like I think if people are just starting out and they don't know what to do, is go beyond checking the box. Like have a little intention behind, I'm not just going to shoot video because one of my coaches said to, I'm going to shoot it because I want the person who watched this to get a piece of value and walk away with something. And when you're really doing that, you realize, like, if I'm talking about mortgage-backed securities being down today and inflation reports and CPIs, like, you're doing that for you because consumers are not going to know what that means. Break it down in a way that it's like very simple to understand.
Yes. Yes. So with that, with the mortgage content, that's, you know, sort of quick, easy to understand. It's real estate content, same thing, quick, easy to understand. How much personal stuff? You hear people talk a lot about authenticity and, you know, having people get to know you on a personal level as well as business. What are your thoughts on all that? I hear, you know, so much different advice around putting our personal lives online.
It's always changing, but bottom line is 100% you need to show you're building a personal brand. You want these people to transact with you. It's very similar to what we do in real life too. And it was my last manager I remember talking about when I was setting up my office when I first started, like, get some pictures of your family in here, you know, make yourself a real person. So even in our face-to-face, like if you put a, you know, a Dallas Cowboys poster in your office, like even if someone hates the Cowboys, at least they're like, oh, he's a football guy, sports, like that's my people. Or you have pictures with your family, your kids, or, you know, like pre-social media, you'd send out mailers to your past clients and, you know, show them that your kid just graduated high school or whatever it is to add that personal element. We've been doing that long before social media. And so, and that's really important because that's what makes people want to transact with you and build relationship with you. And so specifically with like Instagram, which is where I spend a lot of time developing relationships, you want to show as much of your personal life as you can. And stories is a really good place to do that. And if you're in stories showing things that, you know, are talking points for people, like Neil, one of my favorite ones, he's talking about how something like it was a $10,000 bowl of cereal or something. He posted a picture of cereal and it starts relation or conversation that turned into a deal. And that was a $10,000 bowl of cereal. You know, like you never know what's going to open that door. And really funny you bring this up, Brian, because that agent I was telling you about in Reno that decided to start sending me deals without meeting me, our very first conversation started from me posting a video of myself riding an electric dirt bike. Like that was what opened up the window for that first conversation and for her to start sending me business.
Come on.
I'm like, out of all the stuff, but her family loves dirt bikes. She's into the outdoors. She thought it was super cool. And like, now I'm getting deals from it.
Wow.
And so because had I not relatable, posted.
You had a hobby that was the same as hers or an interest that the same was the same as hers.
Yep. And so you never know what's going to hit either, you know? So it's just like, If that didn't appeal to her, she just keeps going. If it did, all of a sudden I have a relationship with a top realtor in my city. So it's amazing. The more you show, the more opportunities you get for conversations to start.
So that's interesting. So I've noticed, you know, on your Instagram profile that you do in stories, you'll do stuff about your son or your weekends or more stuff, hobbies, stuff outside of work. And then in your feed or in your reels, it's mostly business content. Is that sort of where you draw the line? Is the day-to-day, you know, fun personal stuff is stories and then more business content in the feed?
Yeah. So you're 100% right. The one thing that I would say though, is the profile that I've built now is different than what I would recommend someone to do when you're starting out. So like in my kind of situation, like I accidentally went viral, right? Like my whole goal, I just wanted to make videos people watched. Like I always, like I was not trying to become an influencer. I didn't want hundreds of thousands of followers. I wanted the 400 people that followed me to watch the video. So I'm like, I need to make it really good. So then they'll watch it. And what happens when you focus on making videos really good for people that are watching them is more people watch them. And then it just compounds. And all of a sudden there's 100,000 people waiting for you to post a video. And you're like, this is crazy. So what happened in that situation is now I built a following that came for this kind of specific thing they're there for, right? Like they want to see financial advice. They want to see tips. They want to see the stuff that I'm creating. So my feed is catering to this following that I've now built. So for me, I keep kind of personal life and stories. And then this bigger brand and presence that I've built, that's what I put on my feed. If I'm starting out, the approach would be a lot different. I would go, I mean, we say 80-20, I would even lean 50-50. So either 80% work, 20% life, even if you're going 50-50, I think that's super beneficial in building your personal brand and becoming kind of an authority figure in your market. And then you kind of feed what works. So you're just constantly evaluating. I'm posting my family stuff. That's opening a lot of conversations. Keep doing that. Then it's working. You know, I'm posting the real estate stuff. This is what everybody wants to see. Then keep doing more of that. And then you'll kind of find like what your audience wants and what works for you, and you lean in more. So yeah, out of the gate though, for like a blanket statement, I would say share both. Stories definitely go a lot more personal and build some connection. But even in your feed, if you're starting out, definitely I would still post both.
Okay. That's fantastic. So you brought up a big word earlier that I did want to ask you about, and it's influencer. So we talked to loan officers or real estate agents about digital media, and you know, you should up your game in that. And they'll say, well, I don't want to be an influencer. I don't want to, you know, put myself out there like that. And it's almost like pressure when you talk to people that aren't already doing it at a high level. It's just pressure. So do you have to become an influencer to be effective online, or is there a way to sort of like baby step into it? Simple things we can do just to build brand or connect with our clients.
Yeah, absolutely. So a story that I really like that illustrates this well was I started going really heavy into video 2020. So right when COVID's starting. So all the in-person events got shut down for however long that span was, but there were no more networking events, which was all I, you know, previously pre-video, that was how I was getting a lot of relationships and doing stuff. So I'm really heavy into video. And then it was like the first event post COVID. It was a Remax grand opening in town, and there was Title, Realtors, Lenders there. And before I started doing video, I'd go to those events and it was like, oh, what do you do loans or are you a realtor? And I'm like, oh, I'm a lender. You know, and it was the conversation I've had over, you know, thousands of times. And then after this one, I go to this event and realtors were coming up to me. And this was, I was not an influencer. I hadn't had any viral videos. I had maybe 500 followers at the time. I was, again, just really focused on like, I want to make videos that actually add value. And so even without viral views, even without a following, I went to this event and realtors were coming up to me. I love your videos. Those are amazing. You think we could grab coffee? I'm like, I'm the one that says that, you know, don't take my line. And so I'm like, this is crazy. Now it's inbound. Now they're coming to me like, dude, how do I do this? And I want to pick your brain. And so, yeah, you definitely do not need to be an influencer to have that influence and to gain that authority. And what was really cool, what I was seeing too, is still relatively new in the business, meaning I'm not a 30-year veteran, you know, I'm a 6-year veteran. Being able to shoot these videos in really high quality on concepts that I get to look into before I shoot, I was able to establish a lot of authority as a loan officer. So people knew I knew what I was talking about because I got to make these videos simplifying kind of complex things that everyone in our industry knows. And for relationship building, that was huge because realtors are like, this is amazing. You obviously know what you're talking about. And you simplified this in such a way that like, I'd be happy to send clients to you. So yeah, no, you definitely don't need to be an influencer. And I think people do put so much pressure because they set that as the bar. And that's not the bar. You know, the bar is just make videos that people want to watch. And I promise you 1000% you will see results in your business. Because if you're making it with the intent of the people watching it getting value, it's impossible for you not to see a return on it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So great stuff, great content. I don't want to shut this down until we talk a little bit about sort of like other projects that you're involved in right now. Yep. So, you know, the mastermind, the forward event, and then I know you're getting into the CRM space a little bit. Yep. And I know it's way more than a CRM, so I'd love to hear about that too. But first, let's talk about Forward. So yeah. How did you get involved in Forward events? Is it just because, did that kick off just because you were a part of Neil's world, or how did that all kind of come together and what does that look like for you now?
Yeah. So when I started working with Neil on the loan side, it's funny because we're in the same market and we're like, man, we're the only two people in this market doing video or looking at things the way we do. And then we're zooming out and we're like, man, I think we're, you know, a small minority just in general in this whole industry. As we're making these videos, it was cool because all of a sudden I'm seeing lenders from different markets and realtors from different markets. And Neil's obviously was pushing really hard and, you know, doing events and collaborating with some high level people, even outside the industry. So he's building a brand for himself. And the Forward Academy is kind of like Neil's idea of let's help other people in our industry with the things that we've gotten really good at. And so the Forward Academy was created, and it was funny because the very first event that he threw, me and him had done some local classes, and he was like, man, let's do one that's just like unlike anything you've ever seen. And we were talking low, like in Reno, like, let's do it. And he was talking about like, man, let's get Tom Ferry here. And like, imagine if we got Tom Ferry to come speak at this event, and we do an event, not a class, but like an event. And he's thinking of names and we're sitting there like typing in domain names, and then Forward event, he's like, Forward, yeah, that's it. And so the Forward event was kind of born out of this like, let's do a really high level local class. And then he's looking at the, you know, the fee to get Tom Ferry out, it's a big fee, and he's like, but it's worth it because when you're there, like, think of the amount of realtors we're going to capture. Like, you're putting yourself on the same stage as Tom, so it's like the authority you have, and you capture all these realtors in the room. And to make back that fee,
Did you guys charge for the event then to help offset the fee?
So at the start, this was just going to be locally and free event for realtors. And we kind of tossed around like, should we charge people or should it be free? And then it was like, no, it's trying to get deals. You're trying to build relationships. Like, that's where you make your money. As he's planning this stuff, all of a sudden he's getting like Billie Jean, Brad Lee, a couple other really good speakers. And there's all this interest in it. And it's like trying to get people to come to Reno for this is harder. So then he's like, let's do it in Vegas. And then all of a sudden it just became an event. And then he's charging for tickets. And then there's people from all over the country coming to it. And it was really cool to see like the event was just this small idea that kept growing. And then now you have this Forward event, and then it was like the Forward brand, you know, of the Forward Academy. And then we have the Content Accelerator, where we teach people how to shoot video and get better at it and deliver messages and conversion tactics. And then there's the Mastermind, which is, you know, launched at the Forward event. You have the opportunity to join this mastermind of 100 people like yourself, of just hitters, high level thinkers, and people that are doing different things. And so it was really cool to see. And that was, you know, being able to work with someone like Neil, who's absolutely relentless in getting the thing that is talked about. Because I'm one of those people that, like, there's no shortage of ideas. I can sit and talk all day about them, but actually doing them, I've never seen someone do it like Neil. And it was amazing, because it's like, yeah, how cool would it be to have Tom Ferry? You know, like, how many conversations have we had like that? But for him to, like, cool, yeah, I called him, I wrote the check, he's coming. And it's like, wait, what do you mean, man? That's like, you're serious. And then, like, yeah, it'd be cool to get Billie Jean. All of a sudden, Billie Jean's booked. Like, how is this? So his ability to just take action on things. And again, they still start small. And me and Neil talk about this all the time, because, like, Neil, you had this huge vision of building this Forward event where you have Gary Vee, Ed Milet, Jesse Itzler. Like, no, it was a local class, you know, like, you have 1500 realtors and lenders from all over the country, even Canada. So I guess you're worldwide now at this point. Like, no, I just wanted to teach some people how to shoot better videos. So all these things, it's cool that, like, you don't need to have the whole 30-year plan figured out. It's just whatever you're doing right now, let's make sure we're doing a really good job at it. Do it at the highest level, do it with intent. And then everything just kept growing. And it's been awesome to kind of have a front row seat and, you know, be a part of all these things with Neil and helping and getting to experience these. But yeah, and the resource of the accelerator for, you know, lenders and realtors is huge. I still get, like, a really happy feeling in my stomach when someone DMs me, like, I just got a deal from social, or I just got this realtor relationship, or I just got a listing because of that walkthrough video you guys showed us how to do. So yeah, it's amazing. Forward's been a really cool experience.
So, and it came together, became really big just within a short period of time. I mean, this really started, you know, I know he's been doing events for a long time, but Forward is really just 3 years, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And so the Forward event coming up here in July, which is sold out, I understand it's 1,000 people. He's got really big names speaking again, like Ed Milet. And it's amazing what he's done, what you guys have done with that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible. It's been, like I said, working with alongside of someone who implements everything he's talking about is, like, for me, I couldn't ask for anything more, because I love sitting in a room with him and coming up with ideas, knowing that they're not going on deaf ears. Yeah. Like, if I have input on something, he's like, great, sounds good. And then it's implemented, or let's do it. Or, like, there's no hypotheticals. It's like, if you have a good idea, we'll run with it. And, you know, to his credit too, I've yet to meet someone who has as receptive to things as Neil is, because he has, you know, no reason to listen to me when I'm sitting in these rooms with him. And that's what's so cool, is he does. And so, like, for me, it's so fulfilling to, like, have someone who, you know, respects what you're saying, the input you're given. And I think that's such a huge lesson, is, like, being able to learn things from anyone and everyone. And Neil's been amazing at that. And that's why it's been such a cool partnership, me and him working on these things together. And then what transpires and comes from it is something beautiful.
I love it. So tell me a little bit about the CRM. You've gotten into the CRM space, and we were talking about it a little bit before we pressed the record button here, but it's far more than a CRM, right? Like, it's that, but it's also landing pages, websites, calendar. Like, it's a fully integrated piece of marketing and tracking. So what got you to that point? What have you learned?
So that one's really cool too. And kind of a similar story. And, like, I built my website for myself, and I was with a big mortgage company when I first started, one of the top 10 lenders in the country. So they had a bunch of marketing tools that they gave me, but I looked at them, I'm like, these aren't very good, you know? And they give me kind of the blanket website that every other loan officer at your company gets and has a mortgage calculator on it. And I'm like, I don't want my clients running their own payments, you know, amortization schedule. I'm like, I never want them to see that. Here's 15 different loan products and what they mean. I'm like, this is doing the opposite. Like, I want my people to not be intimidated by the process. And a lot of these web presence was, like, doing the opposite. They're building just a fortress, it felt like, to keep you know, a first time buyer from hitting the apply for a loan button. And I think I was 23 when I started doing loans. And as a 23 year old, I'm like, I kind of feel like I was a first time buyer. I'd bought my house the same year I got into loans. And I'm like, man, I didn't know what, and I'd studied finance. I've been investing in stocks since I was in high school. Like, I know this well. And that process was daunting for me. Mm-hmm. So like, how can I now, being on the other side, make it more simple? And for me, I'm like, I just want a website where I could send people that is like, has some video elements, is very simple with very few options. And I think that was the key to like getting a conversion rate when people go here, is I don't want them to have 50 things. I want them to have two. I want them to either book a call with me, or I want them to apply for a loan. That's it. And so I built this really simple, kind of clean, modern website with those prompts. And then I funnel every lead I've ever gotten goes through it. Once I started getting all this, you know, traction on Instagram from other people in the industry, the messages I would get, I think I was telling you earlier, the two most frequent ones were, what camera do you shoot on and who built your website? And so I was like, this is something obviously people need, because the industry websites aren't really cutting it. So I've started with the idea of just helping people build websites, but then I'm like, that's a little bit of a disservice, because on the back end of my site, I had all these tools, you know, automations running from type forms to my mailing, to my CRM, to my Calendly, to blah, blah, blah. And so then I was talking to a buddy who's a web developer, and I was kind of telling him this, like, man, I wish it was all just one. And he's like, let's do it. I'll build that. And so I worked with him for about a year building this platform that has everything. So it's this beautiful website that we design and build custom to you. And then on the back end, you have your mailing, so you don't need a MailChimp. You have, you know, routing forms to get information, so you don't need a type form. It has automated scheduling. It has CRM properties. There's a lot of really cool stuff that makes it just where that's the only software I need. Because, I mean, I'm sure you know as well as I do, every time someone comes like, oh, I got this great new tool, I'm like, awesome, one more thing for me to try and manage, you know? So this was like, no, this is the one that takes them away. Yeah.
Well, you're paying different fees to, you know, different pieces, right? It's like, well, I need, you know, the landing pages, I'm paying a fee here, I'm paying to Calendly, I'm paying for my CRM, I'm paying for MailChimp, I'm paying for this, kind of integrates it all. And it's just one fee, right?
Yeah. And then, like I was telling you, the done kind of with you component of it, where part of your service is that we continue to help do these things for you. So instead of just giving you a platform that allows you to build landing pages, and you still have to build it, like, all right, I want to do an event for realtors, I don't know, loans and lemonade for the summer. Can you make a landing page for it? And we, you know, they submit the request of what they want. And then the next day they have a landing page built by us, because that's something that I think is super useful in marketing, but it's only reserved for the people that have the technical know-how to do that. So yes. I'm like, we could take that out of the equation and let people do what their, you know, time is best spent doing, which is getting loans. So yeah, that was the other piece that's been really cool to see the response on.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you. So how would people get in contact with you if they want to hear a little bit more about the CRM or anything you're up to?
Instagram's probably the best way, just at Trev York, DM me, and yeah, I'd love to talk to you guys.
Awesome. Thanks for taking the time today, brother. I appreciate it. We learned a ton, and I'll look forward to seeing you again soon.
Yeah. Thank you again for having me, man. I love seeing you do this. You're really good at proctoring these. And like I said, being on the list of guests that you've had is something that's a huge honor. And it's really cool to see the value that you're adding to people in our industry, because I think it's definitely a gap that's missing. And seeing someone like you be able to offer that is really cool and inspiring. So I really appreciate it, man.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks for your kind words.
All right.
Take care, my brother.
Follow The Closing Table everywhere you listen to podcasts. And if you found value here, invite a colleague or friend who could benefit from a visit too. To connect with Brian, visit connectwithbw.com. We'll see you next time at The Closing Table with Brian Weiss.